I had the pleasure yesterday of being embarrassed. Woohoo! How many people here are fans of being embarrassed? Libby, God bless you, girl. There's some bold ones. Yeah, man. Don't you love that feeling? I was at this spectacular wedding. It was just beautiful, and the whole thing for hours just went wonderfully. I think everybody was caught up. Barbara and Ian were there. Man, it was just, oh. It was a feast of the glory of God. And after the wedding, we went downstairs into the reception area. We had a great time. Of course, there wasn't any tables, but I mean, how else do you seat like 400 or 500 people in a hall that only holds about 370? So we were standing up, but we didn't care because it was such a good time and it was good food and good fellowship. I saw so many people I hadn't seen in years and years, going way back in New Covenant churches. And I saw a friend of mine who is a member of our sister church over in Centerville, Covenant Family Church. Real nice guy. Young man, probably mid to early 20s. Clean cut. Loves God with all his heart. He and I had been talking several months ago when they were here about how he loves the writings of E.M. Bounds, who wrote extensively about the power of prayer. And he said, I just want to commit myself to prayer, man. I just want to get before the throne of God. And I had just started reading those same things. He had bought the book, and I was reading them online. And so, you know, we just had a great time back then. And when I saw him at the reception today, I was like, man, how are you doing, brother? And I'm going to leave names out and everything. But I was like, man, how you doing? And we had a good conversation. Then he introduced me to his fiance. I didn't know he was getting married. And I was so delighted to hear this. And she was a wonderful girl. In fact, her father is a New Covenant pastor, or was a New Covenant pastor. So you have these two godly young people that are getting ready to get married for the glory of God. And we're there at a wedding anyway, so I'm just swept up in it. She told me her testimony of how she showed me her sapphire promise ring, and how God had put Isaiah 54 on her heart. And when she was reading it, he said, I will build on the foundation of sapphire. And man, I just got goosebumps all over me. And then it went on to talk about, you know, the Lord as her husband, and that he was as a blacksmith, and that's what this guy does, works with metal and stuff as a blacksmith. And, you know, goosebumps on top of goosebumps, and it was awesome. We had this amazing conversation. And then we went about our way, and a couple hours later, I saw them as I was getting ready to leave, and just, you know, we wished each other well. And then I was saying goodbye to her. And for some reason, the name that I thought that was her name just really was not. And I called her this other name. And I'm like, this is, your name is, and she's like, no, it's, and there was this awkward, you know, she didn't laugh. Okay, I was waiting for her to just laugh it off. She didn't laugh. There was this really awkward silence in which I felt like all 400 people in the auditorium suddenly stopped what they were doing, turned around and looked at me and said, you idiot. Don't you know what her name is? And I was like, okay, well, God bless you guys. We'll see you later. And I'm like, and I'm not saying anything to Missy, but I'm in my heart, I'm going, Missy, let's get out of here quick before all these people, you know, just come over and lynch me or something. It was so embarrassing. And have you guys ever had any moments like that? That was not the first time for me. That is not the first time in huh? Yeah, I should have. You know, when in doubt, leave it out. Just say goodbye. And I'm sure that's not the last time I'll be embarrassed, but I hate when it happens. It just really humbles you. And when it's the last thing that happens as you're leaving the place, guess what you think about all the way home? Exactly that. Well, we're going to look in Scripture today about a group of about a dozen guys, half a dozen guys, who were greatly embarrassed. And we're going to look at why they were embarrassed, how they got embarrassed, what we can do so that we don't make their same mistake and become embarrassed along with them. Amen? Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Acts chapter 19, we're going to continue our study of the book of Acts today. I think this is part 39 or something like that. And we're in chapter 19, which takes place in the city of Ephesus. Last week, we were looking at how Paul came into the city and he met a few guys there that really didn't have a lot of understanding. Now, let me say this first. You might remember there was a time when Paul was actually forbidden to go to that region where Ephesus was, Asia Minor, or Asia as it were. Earlier in chapter 16, it said, "We endeavored to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit forbid us." And now God has opened the door. I think what happened was God knew that Paul wasn't ready for the kind of intense spiritual warfare that he was going to find in that city. We're going to see that as these next couple weeks unfold. God doesn't want us to get in over our heads. Yes, he wants us to do mighty works in his name, but he has, you know, everything in its season. I don't think Paul was quite ready then. Paul had to go through a couple more things to kind of strengthen him as a man of God and as a warrior of God. And now he comes into Ephesus and he meets, last week we said he meets these guys. Their understanding was a little messed up, so he kind of got them on the right track, preached the gospel to them. They believed in Jesus Christ. They were water baptized. Then he laid his hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues and prophesied, and everything was really terrific. After that, we're skipping this little section, this paragraph or so, that talks about the fact that after that, Paul went to the synagogue, started talking about Jesus, did that for a couple of months, and things were going well. But after a while, some people that didn't believe in the synagogue started making trouble for him, stirring up trouble. He finally said, "Okay, no problem. I'll take my guys. We'll leave. You know, we're not welcome. That's okay. We'll just take a hike." And they went instead to this place called the School of Tyrannus, which was a building used as a school in the morning. They think it was some Greek philosopher or maybe some Jewish guy who had a private synagogue or something. But basically, that place would close at 11 o'clock, and then it was siesta time. And so whenever the place would shut down at 11, in fact, the whole city shut down at 11, people would go home, eat lunch, take care of domestic stuff, just like they do in many countries today. Paul would then at 11 o'clock go and use that empty building so that he could teach people about the gospel. And as he did that and people began to come to Christ and get saved and others began to be discipled and then they got bold, they would go out and start evangelizing the city. And it says the word of God spread like wildfire through that place. Next thing you know, the gospel was going all through the city of Ephesus and that region of Asia. So it was pretty cool. And most churches would be delighted with that. Doesn't that sound like a great program? You know, you go, you have a building now, you're established in the city, you're teaching, you're preaching, folks are getting saved, they're getting baptized in water, they're getting filled with the Holy Spirit, they're getting discipled, they're growing, they're taking that faith and telling others about it, and the gospel is going out and spreading throughout the region. Doesn't that sound fantastic? Most churches would say, "Okay, fine, works for me," and just stop there. But God has something more than that, because the kingdom of God is not simply about keeping folks out of hell and getting their life straight enough so that they don't live in dysfunction every day. That's a benefit, definitely is that. That's what God wants to do. But the kingdom of God is not about the happiness of man, even if that means happy because he's not in hell and happy because his life isn't as dysfunctional as it was anymore. The kingdom of God is about the glory of God and the authority and sovereign rule of God in every place in the world. When we talk about the kingdom of God, it's not simply about the happiness of man. It's about the fact, let me give you a little background, it's about the fact that God created this world and created man in his own image so that he could delegate authority to man to rule over this world. But we know that Satan usurped that authority when Adam fell in the garden. And a great travesty of unspeakable proportions took place so that man became the slave to death and sin and the devil. God, of course, wasn't running around heaven frantic and panicking and wondering what he was going to do. He already knew. He already had a plan. At the given time, God became man, put on human flesh, lived a completely sinless and righteous life, then died upon the cross to fully redeem man and buy him back from death and hell and the devil. And then he rose from the dead to conquer death, and he ascended to the very right hand of the majesty on high, from which he poured out the Holy Spirit upon his people. That's the foundation for the kingdom of God. And now, as we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, reborn and filled with his Holy Spirit, God is now demonstrating His sovereign power over all of the works of the enemy, over all the powers of darkness, through His people who are filled with His Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Whenever God, through His people, demonstrates His sovereign power and authority over hell and the devil by getting people saved, by delivering them from demonic oppression, from delivering them from addictions, by healing them and bringing that darkness out of their light, that is a demonstration of the kingdom of God, God exercising His sovereign authority through His people, the church. That's what it was meant to be from the beginning. And because of Jesus Christ, God can now demonstrate His glory and majesty and authority again through His people. That's what we are all about in this church. Yes, we want people saved, baptized, filled, discipled, witnessing, but we also want to see God demonstrate His power and deliver His people from darkness. Now, when you look at the city of Ephesus, this was a city that was literally in the grips of satanic darkness. The whole place was filled with the occult, with practitioners of magic, with goddess worship, and it was literally eaten up with demon possession. Folks were in bondage and slavery and just gripped by satanic darkness in this city. We talked about last time that Ephesus was not only the capital of Asia Minor, but it was the capital of goddess worship. And we had a picture, and I think we still have that up here. Yeah. Of the Temple of Diana, also known as Artemis, the Temple of Diana that was in the city of Ephesus, it was the capital of goddess worship. And that building was so amazing. I don't know if you can see how little the people are compared to it, but it was considered one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And when they said the entire world, you know, worships Diana, is that when they were writing, we'll find out about that next week, literally, Ephesus was the place where people made pilgrimages to come and visit this temple and partake in goddess worship.